Welcome to the Diary of a Daddy-O podcast, brought to you by myself, David Powell. On this podcast, I'll be talking to a number of daddy-os who are trying to juggle their respective jobs and ever-growing duties as a father. We will be discussing the ups, the downs, and everything in between. We want you to come along on the ride with us. So without further ado, welcome to the Diary of a Daddy-O.
This is a diary pod about how work routines flip, turn upside down, and we'd like to take a second to let you know how we juggle being a dad while being a CEO. Daddy-o.
Welcome back to a Diary of a Daddy-o podcast, episode one of the second series. I'm joined by Craig Allen of Gold Standard Nutrition. Got it right this time. First of all, just tell us a little bit about yourself, business, and your current setup as a daddy-o.
So, Craig Allen, 32, dad of two, and I've been running GSN since I was 21, 20 to 21. So, we're just coming up to our 12th year in May. So I've had half of it being run before parenthood, half of it sort of post-parenthood, so sort of give you a good idea really on how I've balanced both and sort of where the start of GSN, the way that we did it, background of GSN was we supply healthy frozen food. So the first 3-4 years I spent basically on the road in a branded GSN Tesco truck and traveled the full country 14-15 hours a day, spent the evenings vialing up the gold bags and spent the days driving around the country with the freezers and the stock. So that was how we built the round, and it's something that I would not have been able to do, and it wouldn't have been an option for me should I have tried to do that after sort of like my first child. So I'm fortunate that we sort of did that in the right times and got that done whilst I was young and ambitious and hungry. And I could do them sort of hours, but if I was trying to do that now and start again, I'd have to do something different. They'd be impossible.
Sorry, mate. I fully agree with you on that one. I remember back to the early days of like 3 or 4 clothing and like working at 2 or 3 in the morning. It just would not be possible at this phase of our lives. So you sort of got that entrepreneurial sort of hustle mode done early doors pre babies, which is probably the way most people do it, really, right? Isn't it? So you work hard to try and get the business and the brand going, and then you sort of try and find that sort of stability in work life as well as outside with settling down with your partner and starting a family and stuff.
Oh, definitely. So yeah, the start of GSN and sort of before that, I've always been someone that's into the football, into gym, very spontaneous, outgoing, sort of high energy. They'd be out most weekends, but not necessarily always drinking it. It'd be sort of just doing things, whether it be walks, whether it be gym. I'd always be like a busy individual. So what hit me really hard with becoming a dad was how your own time is no longer your own time. It's you're on their time now. You're on the kids' time, and they can disrupt your whole day if they want to. And that was a big adjustment for me, is sort of understanding that you're not, like, you can't prioritize and be as selfish as you once were. It's not that it's selfish sort of doing your own thing, but when you were dad for the first time, it was like, yep, they come first now. So if I want to go to the gym, if that's not the right time for them, I can't go to the gym at that time. Or if I want to go and watch Man City play, and that doesn't necessarily, and we've all had a shit night's sleep and Kate's not feeling very well, I can't just ditch the family and go to watch Man City. So it's trying to find that balance of selfishness and sort of looking after what you want to get out of your weeks and your months and years, but also sort of like prioritizing.
Absolutely, mate. I think the key word there that's a little bit jarring to say, it's always the word selfish, isn't it? You feel, whether it's just me, I feel bad when I go, oh, this is me being selfish. And then it makes the whole decision process feel worse because you're like, am I being selfish? But really, truthfully, you're not actually being selfish. You're just having to try and prioritize what makes you function as a human at like the optimal level to then be at your best for your children and for work. So like I said before, I jumped on this podcast then, myself and Jess have just started sleep training after 12 months. Brody was an okay sleeper for like 12 months. And then as soon as he hit 1 year old, he just progressed really badly. It was literally the night of his birthday party. and he just couldn't get past like 15, 20 minutes sleeping. And we were like, what on earth are we going to do here? Because for about seven days, 10 days, we were both functioning on about 10%. And I remember someone said to us, is like, if one parent's on 10%, you need to make sure the other one's on 90, because you need, you are a team, like you are in business. If you're having a bad day, you need someone else to sort of help you out. But we were both caught off guard, and we were both on 10% for about a week, 10 days. And we were like, how on earth are we going to get through this? And like, we started sleep training, and Brody's now sleeping good 12, 13 hours. And like, I feel 18 again, like without sounding too dramatic about it, but like my energy levels are through the roof. And like yesterday was my birthday, and we took Brody out, and I was like, usually come about 11 in the morning, 12, I'd be like, I'm absolutely done here. I'll be on my fifth coffee or can of Monster and stuff. And like yesterday I was like, I could go all day. It's brilliant. But it's just not, it's not selfish, isn't it? And like, I just, it's just a strange thing to say, but it makes you feel selfish.
As a dad, I would definitely agree that that it's not selfish. It's finding the right balance, but it's finding a way of having that conversation with your missus as well.
Yeah.
So like when you work all week and they necessarily they're at home, it's finding that I'd find it hard to do what Kate does in looking after the kids all week, but then she couldn't do what I do. So it's how to, when you go home, it's not a case of here's the baby, but it's like, you can't, like, there's no let up. If you've got to be switched on at work, you've got to be sort of 40, 50 hours at work, sort of Monday to Friday as best you can, but then you've got to try and find the extra energy to then do the bath time, the bedtime. And if they're not sleeping, it's just, how long can you ride that roller coaster before you absolutely burn out? So yeah, we've had plenty of conversations that have gone good and gone bad with each other in just finding like, where's that balance? So I carried on playing football for the first 3 years of us having Blake. So with the single child, I was like, no, Saturday is my day. I need it. I need that release. It's sort of it's my safe space. It sort of lets me sort of just, let off a bit of anger, go and banter with a load of mates, and it's just the routine that I needed to keep. Whereas second child came along, it was just, how can I keep this balance? It's impossible. And we tried it for the first year, and that's why that now I get dragged into the odd game, but I've had to sort of like hang up my boots and I don't play anymore. And it's something that I miss, but it is, it's something that I really miss, because it's something that I was good at and I enjoyed. And it's sort of like it's the feeling a sense of sort of a belonging in a football team. Whereas you're in a business, I've had this chat recently. So in a business, you're top of the tree as CEO. You don't report to anyone. No one's necessarily like, you're the one that has to provide for everyone else and sort of like delegate to everybody else, tell everyone what they want to do. Whereas football team, it's nice that they want you. And I tended to be captain of the football teams, but it's somebody else that's managing you, which was a nice, refreshing sort of feeling of football, that they're managing you, telling you what they need from you, telling you you've done really well. It's just that you end up sort of getting a bit of gratitude from someone that you don't get in business. So I quite enjoyed that for football, and it was one that I seeked sort of after, and that's why I committed myself to football, because I like to impress the coach, I like to impress the lads, and I enjoyed being a good captain. That's something I really, really sort of was passionate about. So that's why I think like that was a big adjustment for me in finding sort of
so you don't play anymore now
without football. I've been dragged into three games this year, just sort of like the odd two Wednesday games and then the odd Saturday game. Like I've played when they've been short and when he's begged me to play, but I've had to sort of, I don't go training, and I don't commit myself to Saturdays unless there's sort of nothing on at home and I can get cover for the kids.
How do you cope mentally? So this is like totally off topic with being a dad and a daddy and stuff, but when I stopped playing football at like the age of 21 or 22 as well, I was quite good. But then whenever I've gone back to play since, which I haven't done for quite a long time now, because my standards drop so much, I come away from it feeling worse than I was before. Like I always when I go and watch Man City, like, you know, we're both Man City fans, I come away and I'm like, oh, I'd love to get back on the pitch and play, like get a nice pair of boots and do this and that. And then I'd go and play and my standards drop so far that it makes me feel worse. I'm like, like you have to commit so much time. It might be different for you, but I feel like I have to commit so much time to do something well that I just take myself back now and go, I just don't play football.
Yeah.
Maybe I will do it one day when Brody is old enough to run around and kick a football if he chooses to. But at the moment, like I can't commit to something when I'm not at my optimal, if that makes sense. So like when we were going through the sleep training, the sleep deprivation, I was like, I'm not being the dad that I really want to be at this point because I'm so tired. So it was like, how do we fix it? Whereas a similar thing with the football that I just couldn't dip in, dip back out.
No, that is, yeah, it is hard, and 32 now and sort of getting a bit leggy when you're chasing around some whippets that are 18, 19. I've always been like a CDM, and then as I've got older and as the kids, I've retreated back to being like a centre half or a play in a back three. And for me, it's sort of, I can do that role comfortably, but if you try to put me back in CDM and try to play the level I used to be at, I'm nowhere near that anymore. So like it's just accepting that you're not as good as you used to be and you haven't got the legs you used to have. So I just go with the enjoyment of just, I was playing for a fairly decent team. So like luckily to have good lads around me, whereas previous teams I've played for when you're used to losing every week, I don't think I'd have been able to handle that on top. I enjoyed winning, that made me feel good, but if we'd have been losing every week, I think I'd have a lot sooner. So yeah, in terms of coping, like finding a different balance for football, like gym is something that I've always done since I was 16. And I've always sort of been around a lot of lads. So having Blake, when I could train an hour and a half, 2 hours a day with the same guy at the same time, walk the dog at the same time of day, it was a routine that I knew I could rely on, eat my meals at the same time of day, and it was easy. And then the kid comes along and I can't guarantee that I'm going to be finishing work at the same time, so I can't train with Mike that I used to train for at that gym. And this, depending on how Blake slept, is depending on whether I get out for the dog walk at the same time, whether the dog gets a walk at all or whether or not she just has to put up with it. So we, during sort of like COVID, which I know we'll go on to, but like we built a gym in the office. So that was kind of my space then, where I was thinking, right, how can I maneuver GSN, kids, life balance, and still keep what I need to actually keep my brain ticking over? So we built a gym in the office that means that if I've got half an hour to 45 minutes, I changed my complete training program into be less sort of bodybuilding to more like functional fitness. So I'll go and do like it could even be as little as a 25 minutes or sort of a 45 minute circuit. It's just a sweat out blast. And I really enjoy it. It frees up my mind, clears me of anything that's sort of going on. And I try and do it and force myself to do it no matter how hard the day's been or how little sleep I've had or what's it just yeah. It helps me like recharge. It sounds like it shouldn't when you're training, but I think that is my recharge. It's like my reset that I need, and definitely a sweat out session helps me a lot more than what a typical bodybuilding session would be. I need my heart rate to get up and I need to get sweaty, and then I feel
your non-negotiable like is like getting that sort of gym session in just to make you feel like you've done that, you've ticked the box, your adrenaline's got lifted, and it's not giving you that energy level to go back and do what you need to do at the office and then at home as well.
Because there can be a lot of conversations sort of, and it is trying to force yourself into breaking that day up, because there's been plenty of days and weeks and months that have gone by where you just like, it's just non-stop every hour non-stop, and then it's 5-6 o'clock and you've barely drank any water and you've barely eaten, and you're just like, how have I got to this situation? So like I try now to keep a better routine where there is more structure to that day, where like I'll box off like a 12 to 1 or a 1 to 2 where if you need me, I'm in the gym, but I'll be on the bike or I'll be doing this, and just leave me alone for half an hour and then I come back and I'm fresh. Or I'll do it in the morning before work, or what we've now written out is a better program with Kate, so she understands when I'm training in the morning, when I'm training in an evening, and when I usually try and get it during the day. So she knows when to expect me home, and sort of I can sort of past that by with sort of her understanding that I'm away early that morning, so you've got the kids on your own on a Tuesday morning or Wednesday morning. So I think structure and routine definitely is something that's helped me cope with all the demands.
When you had your first child, how long did you take off work? Did you take any time off work? And sort of like what scale was the business at 4 years ago versus where it is now? So when I had Brody, or when Jess, my wife, had Brody 12 months ago, I did the final 3 months of her pregnancy working from home, and then did about 2 months pretty much solid working from home when Brody had been born. So I had like a 5 month period where I was in and around that sort of like the new norm of like the chaos of having a baby and the pre-baby, which was fortunate, because obviously having your own business at the time allowed me to do that. But obviously there's other people out there that will get 2 weeks off and then they're straight back into work. What did you do, and why did you do it, I guess?
So yeah, we with the business, I tried to sort of commit to the 2 weeks off to fully sort of get into dad mode and understand what becoming a dad is. And that extended to sort of like half days in the office, half days at home for the following sort of 4 weeks after that. And then after 6 weeks, it was kind of like, right, I'm back into sort of like full days now. But it did just need to break into half days as and when we could. Kate, as always, in the two different pregnancies that we've had, she's always struggled with like a sickness, a dizziness, and like bed boundness. So like she, from the first 6 months of each pregnancy, she's genuinely been like bed bound. So that was something that I really struggled with finding a balance of, is being able to, especially second pregnancy with we'd had the kid and she needed caring for. It was finding a way of being able to sort of continue with GSN, care for her, but juggle Blake and sort of doing the school routine. She only went to nursery 2 days a week. So like, it was like, how do I juggle getting Blake to one of the grandparents? Or I remember calling the nursery and basically just begging them to take her on for an extra day. I was like, look, I can't manage this. Kate's not well enough. You need to take her for an extra day. And we managed to sort of work something out that they could. And that massively helped. But there was a time where I felt like it was an impossible job of juggling as much as I was trying to juggle. And it was
how was that different to like number two? Was it similar?
So yeah, number two, Blake, as soon as she was born, was an amazing kid. Like, slept really well. Never sort of one that was fussy. Enjoyed a cuddle. You could take her out any time of the day, and you know that she'd be. So we were thinking, like, look, parenting is not a breeze, but we've got lucky here. We know we've got a good kid. So when we were having second child, Cole, we went through the same struggles with like pregnancy. But when he came, we were like, right, okay, right. We'll get back to sort of normal now. And he was a terror. Like, he didn't want to sleep, didn't want to be held. He's never been one that wanted to be cuddled. I've never ever had him like fall asleep in my arms. He just won't be held. He needs to sort of, he just won't be held. So he's someone that, like, he's just, we went to like the osteopaths to sort of see why. Is he uncomfortable? Has he got like any problems? And it was, we thought it might be like an extreme sort of colic issue or any neck issues. And it was just one of them things that apparently it came down to that, because it was a very quick pregnancy, it was that like the baby wasn't squeezed enough or something. I don't know what they've called it, but basically it did. We went from having Blake that was a 3 day induction and everything part of that pregnancy to a Cole that was, from getting to the hospital, we were home within like 6 hours, and he was born within an hour of getting to the hospital. So two very different pregnancies, very different sort of labour ward experiences, which, was extreme. Cole, we thought we'd be prepared for second baby, and he caught us off guard, to be honest. He was a terror, and that was like 10 months before he had his first like night where he was sort of settled and was sleeping okay. So we did have it pretty hard for the first 10 months. But one thing we tried to do was, and I think you referenced it as well, is regardless of how much sleep you've got, it's still trying to maintain the life that you can't just sort of box yourself away and accept that's the new normal. It's kind of just like, just ride the wave. It will get easier. So we rode that as the 10 months that we did. But in between that, we'd gone on a couple of holidays. We'd gone away with their grandparents, my parents on holiday. We'd done like a couple of trips to centre parks. And as hard as they were at the time, like you look back on them now, I'm so pleased that we did them trips and the pictures that we've got and the memories that we've got from it. You don't remember the screaming nights. You more remember the actual, like, the hours and the days that you did get the amazing memories. So regardless of how hard it was, like, I don't regret any of the sort of trips that we took the kids on. So I'd always sort of recommend any new dad and single or double parents, just depending on how many kids you've got, is sort of just absorb the chaos, to go on the trip. Like, you won't regret the trip just because you think it's going to be hard. Don't avoid that trip, because we've thought about it in the past. It's going to be too difficult to take them on a plane. We went to Dubai in November and we're thinking, Cole's 18 months, he can't go in the bassinet. Yeah. It's an eight-hour journey, and we know that plane journey is going to be torture. But then we've had the best holiday we could ever imagine when we were there. But the eight-hour torture plane journey was well worth the trip.
Like, obviously, I'm not saying labour isn't the hardest thing anyone could ever do, but they say that, like, the reason why women will have another child is because that's the most painful and, like, crazy thing they'll ever do, but they go back and do it again because they know that sort of, I'm completely, like, not guessing, but this is what people have said, that they sort of forget a little bit of how painful it may have been, and they go, okay, well, the positive outweighs it. And the same thing for like the holidays and the screaming nights and stuff. Definitely. Like, I think back to, like, when Brody's had some horror shows in the evening. I've been driving around at 3-4 in the morning, like, trying to get him to sleep, and he just won't do it. And, like, at the time, I felt like my head was pounding. What am I going to do at work? The gym's finished. I can't go to Man City next week because I've had to, like, reschedule things. And albeit I remember it, I don't remember how stressed I was in that moment. And now I think, well, yesterday he's gone down the slide for the first time, which was a brilliant, like, experience to see him, like, laughing his head off. And you think, that is what you remember the most. You don't forget the bad stuff, but it certainly gets sort of, like, pushed to one side, and you've got to do those things. We went to
100% agree with that.
Just outside of Marbella, and we were the same. Like, I was like, I'm dreading this first plane journey. Everyone said, like, it's really hard. You've got to have every toy in the world, all the snacks and stuff. And I was walking Brody up and down the plane, and pretty much everyone on the plane was, like, high fiving him, patting him on the head, laughing. He was laughing his head off. It was like, I felt like a celebrity. I was like, this isn't what I'd pictured being on the plane. I thought people were going to be like, shut your baby up, he's crying, this, that, and the other. But there's about 100 people, like, pretty much clapping him the whole time. I was like, this is, you just got to do it, haven't you? And then the good will come.
Well, we with Blake, we booked to go to Ibiza, like, when she was 10 weeks old, which seemed like nuts. I don't know why we thought, right, we're just going to continue to try and live sort of the lifestyle that we used to live, to sort of carry that on into parenthood. So, like, let's go with it. And we did a nice sort of TUI all-inclusive hotel, but I remember she was the only baby that small that was at the Ibiza, that were on the plane with everyone else going out to party, and then we were going out to the family resort, and she's crying on the plane and being sick on the bus, and we're like, fucking hell, like, what, like, this is. But it was a great experience for us to understand sort of what it is like to now be a parent. How do we juggle that, the balance? Because we were, from Kate's side and my side, from both, all siblings, we were the first to have a child, so it was the first grandchild in both sides of the family. So, and I was the first of my friends to have a kid as well. So it was, there wasn't really a reference point where I can say, "Oh, I've seen that happen before," or, like, you know, you're just going off sort of what you think, you know. So that was quite a, like a shock to the system is sort of like what you think you know and what you've read in the books and then what reality is. And then, you know, you can't talk to your best friends or you can't talk to your siblings about it because they've not lived that experience yet.
We've discussed this on WhatsApp, haven't we, about like the synergies between like our lives. We've never physically met, have we, yet, but we've spoken for quite a while now on like WhatsApp about football and work and stuff. But there's so many things, just what you said there, like me and my wife, first grandchild, no reference points with like siblings or like my closest pals hadn't had babies either. So like when you're going through it at the start, it was like, where do you, if you turn to Google, obviously you've just got blanket answers, haven't you? You haven't got that sort of close network to say this is what we did and that support network. And my family and Jess's family both live quite far away as well. So when we had Brody, and obviously still now they still live quite far away, it is difficult at times to know what to do, but mm-hmm. embrace that chaos, like you said.
Yeah, asking for help was always something that, like, COVID got in between. It was sort of like at the times where we would want to ask for help, but we couldn't ask for help. But like we always tried to. We've got grandparents that are close by, sort of 15-20 minute drives both sides. But they, we always tried to deal with it ourselves before we ask for help, because I think that was kind of like the moldiness of what you need to sort of understand what it is to be a parent. So like we asked for help when we needed it, but it was only when we were sort of pushed to the limits and there was no, we've exhausted sort of way we can, what we can do ourselves. So yeah, the grandparents have been fantastic, but we've tried not to lean on them as much as we could have done. And like, you know, we've not been able to, and that's why I think it's great to have them around, but it's also good that we've tried to sort of independently look after the kids sort of as if they weren't there to start with, you know. So we're not relying on a grandparent's help. It's trying to do it between us.
The Diary of a Daddy-O is proudly part of Lid the Group family and is sponsored by Lid Project, your plug-in sales and marketing team, founded by brand owners for brand owners. Okay, so welcome back to part two of A Diary of a Daddy-O with Craig Allen. We are going to go straight into a new topic, which is relationships, partners, wives. You got married to Kate, was it last year? Did I remember seeing on socials?
Yep, so November 2022. So we were meant to get married November 2020. We got engaged November 19. But then COVID sort of meant that we had to delay things, and then we delayed things further again because of Cole coming in between then.
How long have you been with Kate prior to Blake?
We've just done our 9th year anniversary, so 2015. Wow. So quite a while, 9 years, first kid at 27. She's a year older than me, so it's nearly a year older. 28. So yeah, the balance, our relationship, so we were friends prior to getting together. So like we were mates that used to go out on weekends and everything, and like both went separate ways at universities and different works, and then sort of like came back to sort of York where she lived, sort of Liverpool and Manchester, and then sort of when I went to uni over there, and then we came back, and then kind of both in different relationships at the time, and then found us talking to each other a lot again, and then sort of found won a background 2015, and then we had four years together before kids, and then now four or five years sort of post kids. So now it's been a journey, and we've done what we tried to do together before kids was sort of see as much of the world as we could, sort of be sort of adventurous. So we've done trips around Canada, trips to like the Philippines, things that we knew we could do before kids, but after kids were going to be too difficult to do. And she's not someone that's ever been too adventurous in her holidays either. She tends to sort of just go to a nice hotel and it's all inclusive, whereas I'm more, I want to get on a moped, I want to go out scuba diving, I want to do this, I want to do that. So like I've forced her to do that before kids, so that now I'm having to do that post kids, because now we go to nice hotels, but it tends to be that obviously the less adventurous hotels, it's just less adventurous holidays, it is sitting in the kids' pool for 6 hours a day. cleaning up ice cream. So very different. They're very different holidays now. But me and Kate, we're very, very good friends. We find a good balance of sort of working together. We can sort of wind each other up. I think that's sort of key to sort of our relationship strength, is that we can banter each other a little bit. Nothing's too serious, because it is a hard balance. So we need to be able to wind each other up and sort of let off some steam. Like any relationship, have our ups and downs. And the less sleep you have and the harder the kids are and the harder the business is, it always sort of puts that in place. But what we try and do is always have just some time together where we'll book in some grandparent help, and we'll always go and have a date night every so often and sort of go and stay away, or we'll do a little trip together where it's a long weekend, whether that be a spa thing, or just sort of reconnect, because I think it can be hard to find as a dad, but also sort of a husband. It's like you prioritize yourself. Like, well, you can be sort of seen to be like the least priority from your mum, the mum's eyes and the wife's eyes, because the kids come first and then it's you. So like, it's trying to find, like accepting that and knowing that you're no longer sort of like the equal priority, but finding times to sort of reconnect, because it's crucial to keeping the relationship healthy, because if you don't take the time to sort of make the effort on the relationship, that I think that's where it's going to burn out and fizzle out. So like, we make a conscious effort to sort of like reconnect when we can. And she actually now works with us. I know we're going to go into that. She actually now works with me, so there is no getting away from Kate. There is kind of like work life balance. She's like a good sort of marketeer, good at branding. So like, we back a year or so ago, we were going through a rebrand, and we've not really got that skill set naturally in house. So like, I found myself working all day and then going home and then just talking to her about branding all the time. And then I was like, the feedback she gave me was good. And I was like, it'd be easier if you just came into the office during the day and we could talk about this, so I can switch off on an evening and not have to sort of keep doing these extended days. She was like, well, I'll come in sort of one of the days. And from Kate's point of view, she was seen as being full-time mum, but not using her brain for anything else than just being a mum. And it's something that I can appreciate that would be difficult. So it's trying to find a way that she can come and re-engage her brain, but also sort of add something to GSN, because she's tried other jobs where she was like a lash technician and a few other things. But that just... the timings of it and the effort that she put into it, and she could only work evenings and then have to work Saturdays, and the balance just was off. That become too difficult of me working GSN and not knowing that I can guarantee in like a 9 to 5 hours. It meant that I was restricting myself to make sure that she could accommodate a job elsewhere. So this is a definitely better balance where she can come in to work with us sort of 2 or 3 days, but if she needs to have the day off, she can have the day off and make up the days elsewhere. But she's adding value to GSN, and we can find a way of giving her what she needs in using her brain. And sort of like, it's a balance that works well for now, and hopefully it'll someone that continues, and make sure she reports into somebody else that's not me. So we separate that out, because I can be the boss at the office because I'm definitely not the boss at home. So I find it sort of easier that she reports into sort of Neil, who's the head of marketing, and then we can just pick up on the pieces then. And then that's sort of where we've found the balance. And I think we've personally always been quite good at working with people that are close and sort of overlapping friends and family into the business. And that's sort of the way that GSN's been built. So my dad's a shareholder. The other director shareholder is a guy called Ian that I went to college with. Head of marketing, someone that I went to uni with, and then head of brand is Kate, who's my wife. So like, there's only a team of seven, and four of them are a family or very close friends. So it's something that GSN's been built on, that trust and sort of like the determination to sort of succeed. But it's also something that I think probably pride myself on and Pride GSN on, that we've been able to sort of find that right balance of working with friends and family. I know you're in a similar situation with 3 or 4 previous to that. So it's just like, it's, I think some businesses say don't overlap friends and family and business. But like, I think that because GSN is my lifestyle as well as business, it was kind of a necessity for me to find a balance that I was happy with, so that the job doesn't become one that I don't enjoy. I can enjoy GSN. I look forward to coming in every day. I still get to trail with my friends. I still get to sort of have a laugh during the day. And then that means that, you know, I'm not resenting the work. I'm enjoying the work. And it's sort of, it's a bit of social time as
absolutely.
Well as being,
like there's quite a lot to unpack there. I think, like, again, there's massive synergy to that sort of the early 3 or 4 days where it was all friends and family. Like, my wife worked for 3 or 4 at the time through COVID as well, where not necessarily blurred lines, but it's adding another dynamic into the relationship mix where you're working together. John, my best pal, he's worked with his wife at 3 or 4 now, Lid Project, for 5 or 6 years, and that their dynamics, they're about to have a child as well, so they're going to be work, married, and parents together. And it's having those sort of 3 areas, which is impressive to them, be able to sort of segregate them, like you said. And you go away for little trips with the wife just to make sure that you go in there not as the parents or the colleagues, you go in there as husband and wife, and to sort of make sure that that dynamic is still active. And if it's active, you're going to be a lot better in the parent dynamic when you get home. Because, like, I mean, I'm just scoring points here against Man United, but you look at a team like Man United whose team is disjointed, they're not working together, and they're terrible. Whereas you look at, say, Man City, they're a team. They focus a lot on the community, like the sort of the energy and the atmosphere between the dynamic between the players. As soon as one person's not pulling their weight, Cancelo, for example, he's gone, he's causing a problem. So, like, working on that sort of relationship inside and outside of work for you guys, crucial. And like your brand as well, your business, GSN, like, from I've only ever seen it from the outside, but you get that feel from like the posts on LinkedIn and speaking to you and stuff. It feels like a family brand, which is, again, very similar to 3 or 4 and Lid Project, that everyone is friends, everyone's working together. And come 5 o'clock, if you're friends and you're going out for a beer, the conversation of work doesn't just stop. You're still thinking of things and you're still talking about it because you've got the best interests of the business and you want it to succeed. And yeah, I can't speak highly enough of your business that you've built just from the outside. And I've not even like scratch the surface or even come to your office or anything, but I've loved it since day one, since I've seen it, use the product, eat the product. And it's it's good to see. And I working with your missus, hats off to you. I don't know if everyone could do it, but like,
it's definitely a hard dynamic to sort of like to juggle. I think one skill that I've picked up and sort of learned to sort of to work on is having that separations, decompartmentalizing. Like, you know, when we're Kate and Craig, that's parents. When we're Kate and Craig, that's husband and wife. And when we're Kate and Craig, that's business. They're very different sort of couples of how they work, how they talk to each other. You know, and it's you know, it's understanding them boundaries and just. When we're talking family, you know, we don't talk about GSN. It's as if we don't work together. You know, we just concentrate on the kids, concentrate on that. And, you know, if we need to talk about work, we'll talk about it, sort of pillow talk. But try and just sort of like make sure that there isn't that constant talk of work, because then it just becomes, you know, that you can't separate yourself away from it and it becomes draining. And, you know, it just starts to sort of resent that relationship. So I think that's something we've worked on well. And that's same with friends and family. When me and my dad will go to Man City together, we don't talk about work all the way. We'll try and talk about anything else that's going on in the world, the football or just something that we've seen, and just to find something different to talk about. Because I actually saw one of your posts recently and it was about being Dave How's 3 or 4, and like it's being more than just a brand is something I'm working on. Is like, I don't just want, because I've had the same experiences of being like, oh yeah, Craig, how are you? How's GSN? And it's not like that is like the go-to conversation. So I'm trying to make sure that there is more. I'm more interesting than just GSN. So I want to talk about like other stuff as well as GSN. So family's a great topic to talk about, but I love football. I love the gym. I love sort of being out and about. So I want to, you know, continue that with work is that, you know, with the more people we bring on and we bring more staff on, it's making sure that they're, you know, they fit the right dynamic, yeah. They fit the right chemistry in the office. And, you know, we can have a conversation outside of work, but then when we need to talk about work, it can be a good conversation. So, yeah, I think, you know, we're not a big corporation. We're not some sort of, like, you know, there isn't sort of chairmen and big directors boards. It's kind of a, if we feel like an idea is going to worth running mm-hmm. with, we talk openly as a team. We discuss sort of the pros and cons and sort of like GSN's been built on that sort of natural instinct and sort of just the direction that we've winged it really sort of on good instinct to get to where we are. And, you know, and it's led us in a good way. And I think that's sort of like, hopefully the personality you see in the brand is that it's not just a faceless brand and sort of like, it, you know, it's been worked on hard and it's just developed over absolutely. The years to
I
be
think
the brand
what
it is
what you
today.
Said there about like sort of, I guess, being pigeonholed in some ways that like I felt a massive bit of whether it's guilt or anxiety, but when people used to say, how are you doing? How's 304? It was how quickly that second question came, never gave any sort of space for me to say, you know what? I yeah. could unload here and say, I'm stressed, I'm tired, business is hard, like life's good, I'm going to the gym, really yeah. happy with my missus. But there was never ever that space to say any of that. It was always a house 304. And like, whether I sometimes think, oh, well, at least someone's, I felt guilt because I was like, at least someone's asking and taking interest in what I'm doing. However, 304 at the time was just a business and a brand. But do they really care how 304 is because it has no emotions? Whereas do these people that are asking me the question, do they care how I am? And then I was like getting circulating in my head, being like, the people that follow that question up with that one, are they really friends? Are they really people that I want to then invest my time in long term? Because you'd expect friends to be like, how are you doing? Before, how's the business? But that wasn't the case. And then the guilt and anxiety of being like, well, if someone's actually asking me how I am and how the business are, maybe I should be grateful that people are showing interest. And it was a really difficult thing to juggle. And I, from when 304 got sold to Lid Project, who now the owners, I'm still in and around the business, like I feel that sort of more comfortable now in who I am. Now 304 isn't just on my shoulders because I feel like I've got more to give.
Yep.
And I was 21 years before 304, and I feel like people liked me then and I had things to talk about before 304. I was getting to the point where I didn't know what else I could bring to a conversation. So when I was going to social situations, I was getting mad social anxiety because if I tried to not talk about 304, I'd probably have too many beers to try and figure out what I could talk to someone about. And then I'd be like, am I boring talking about something else? And it was a tough ride, really, tough like period of my life that when I only think back on it now, that maybe there was certain things I was doing to try and compensate for that because I was so burdened with just the 304, mm-hmm. the 304 tag that I didn't know what to talk about.
Yeah, I think that I can completely relate to that. And I think that's why I've tried to stick with football for as long as I did, because you've got a manager that
yeah.
wants you for the player that you mm-hmm. are, not the business, not anything else. They just want you, they appreciate you as a player, and they don't care about your business. They don't care what job you do. They're just seeing you very for true. The footballer that you are. And like, that's kind of one of the only times I probably feel like that, because in every other walk of life, you're the person that is setting the routine for everybody else, directing the business and everything else. You're trying to be head of the family. You're like, it's just, you're always the one that's sort of in charge or setting the direction as the CEO and managing director of GSN. So like, it's nice. It's nice, refreshing. So them conversations where people are asking you how you are separate to how the business is, it's definitely ones that I'm searching for a lot more in some yeah. of my conversations, even with family. We actually had this conversation with mum and dad not that long ago. It's like, can you start asking me more about me, not about GSN? Because my dad working for the business, it was just you go, you talk about work, you talk about the kids, but not about me. And then the same with friends. And it's just, I've made a very conscious effort to sort of like do the same thing, is separate out like the conversations that you do have, conversations that are just general conversations away from work. And, you know, you've got to find that balance, because otherwise, you know, it's just, just no separation. You can't think straight if you're constantly 100%. Thinking of work, because your best ideas come from when you're not thinking of work.
Obviously, from my perspective, I live quite far away from Man City, so I was going up to see Man City games and seeing my dad and his wife that I hadn't seen for a couple of weeks. And I remember, like, half time, games going well, house 3 or 4, and I remember having a conversation with both and being like, can we not talk about 3 or 4 and work? Because I just don't want to talk to you about that, essentially, outside of work. I'll talk about work to people at work, but then when I leave, I wouldn't mind just carrying on talking about Man City when I'm here, or like how what it was pre-Brody, but like how Jess is, or what I'm up to at the weekend, rather than how's work. And I know it was never asked to try and cause me more stress, but I just had never said, look, I don't want to talk about work outside of work, essentially. So, but those like boundaries are in place now, and like I don't talk about work as much outside of work, and like, especially now having Brody. I mean, that is, it's the new work, I guess. Everyone wants to know how Brody's only 1 year old. So all grandparents are like, how's Brody? And I don't mind that at the moment, because I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
I get that. Yeah, because fantastic. No, I think that's sort of a key point, is that from CEO status, and then imagine, I know quite a few sort of older successful businessmen, and they've all said the same. It's like they tend to be quite lonely people, and like, it's, I'm trying to make a conscious effort to not be that lonely person in 10 years time that's hopefully had a successful career in GSN. I want to have got there with friends, with family, and having more about me than just like, and that's why I think that some of the decisions we make in GSN, we could have been a lot more ruthless and a lot more savage in some of the decisions that we've made.
Yeah,
but it's just not who I am. Like, I'd rather get there slower and be happy with the way that I've got there than be savage and have no friendships and no relationships.
Makes sense. Now at 50 minutes on the pod, so we're going to try and wrap it up here with two sort of consistent things we're going to do on the podcast. So the first one is one life hack that you wish you knew 4 years ago before you had Blake, or 5 years ago before you had Blake. What one life hack can you tell someone else to do?
Set out. So my routine when we first had Blake, seems ridiculous that we own a frozen food business and that my diet was shit. But I remember eating party rings for breakfast on like one of the first days of having the kids, and I'm like getting to work, how's it going, I've eaten party rings for breakfast and for lunch, and my diet's horrible, I've had no sleep, I can't think straight. So it's setting out like the routine, trying to stick to that routine. And with your missus, it's also sort of like you've said a bit before, like it's the 90-10, if one's at 90%, one's at 10%. It's not feeling like you need to be invincible, and like I've absorbed too much, far too much, where I think like, because Kate's struggling, I need to pretend that I'm absolutely fine and then carry on, and I end up burning out. So like the life hack would be to stick to routine as best you can, to sort of like find and prioritize your own health and well-being. So do the gym session, look after your diet, keep hydrated, because you can't guarantee the sleep, but you can try and do those things, just sort of looking after yourself, because it's very hard to guarantee
set out those non-negotiables and stick to them. And then finally, one question for the next person on the podcast to ask. Make it as deep or as funny as you want, but just a question for them to sort of take a step back and think, maybe like what we just said there, not asking a question about GSN or 3 or 4 or whatever business they are, but like asking them a question that maybe they've not been asked for a while. On the spot.
So Yeah, go. I think because of the sort of how fast paced the world is. Like one of my favorite days with a friend was far too long ago, but like we sat in a Sam Smith pub and had a game of chess. And in a Sam Smith pub, you're not allowed any phones or any music or anything like that. And that's sort of one of the best times I've had with that mate. And I just think the question would be sort of when was the last time you sort of had a game of chess or something equivalent with that friend, and that's doing something that you wouldn't normally do, but
make them think back to when they did something.
Reconnecting with a friend that's sort of not fast paced. It's take a step back, see that you can, just take a step back, take your time, and just slow down. And when was the last time you slowed down and really thought about sort of a friendship and made the effort with that one friend to just ask him how he is?
I'm not 100% sure who is number two yet, but tune back in and listen to that answer. Yeah, good luck. But we'll leave it there. Yeah. No, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
I'll put all your GSN socials and stuff in all the like descriptions of the podcast and everything else so everyone can go and find it. Thank you very much for coming on. And I've literally got notes here with a ton of things that we haven't even discussed. So like we said, later in the year, we'll get you back on for part two when Brody's a little bit older, and we'll chew the fat on some other topics because there's plenty more to discuss.
A work-life balance, so hard to do while juggling a business and date nights too. But life goes on, so what baby we got? Now I'm trying to juggle work while feeding baby that bop. I deal with one dirty nappy and turn my back and hear 101 messages pinging through Slack. Sleep deprivation, you can see it in my eyes. As I hop on Google Meets, I hear the baby starts crying. So I mute and shout to mom, you okay in that ear? She says, get on with your work, we'll be okay in here. I wash up the bottles around 8 or 9. By the time I'm in my office, sometimes it's lunchtime. Looked at my partner, said, one day I'll know how to juggle my new life as a successful daddy-o. Daddy-o.